From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown reporting. President Trump is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia's capital, beginning his first foreign trip as president. Over the next 9 days, Mr. Trump will visit other parts of the Middle East and Europe. Simon Henderson of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy says the Saudis are excited about Mr. Trump's visit.
Saudi Arabia is delighted. They rely on a security relationship with the United States. They were very disappointed with President Obama, who they thought favored Iran rather than them.
Some observers find Mr. Trump's visit to the Middle East surprising in wake of his America First rhetoric and campaign statements calling for a Muslim ban, backed by subsequent orders attempting to limit travel from six Muslim-majority countries. Saudi Arabia was named in the travel bans. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee says former FBI Director James Comey has agreed to testify publicly about Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential elections. Meantime, the New York Times reported President Trump told Russian officials early this month that he had just fired Comey, calling him a nut job. The Times reported Mr. Trump said Comey's firing had eased pressure on him regarding the Russia investigation. White House spokesman Sean Spicer said there was never any attempt to interfere in the investigation. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has won re-election, beating his closest opponent, a hardline cleric. Rouhani banked his political future on Iran's landmark nuclear deal with the United States and other world powers, which led to the loosening of economic sanctions on Tehran. This is VOA News. President Trump has ordered an accelerated operation against Islamic State fighters in Syria. U.S. Defense Chief Jim Mattis called it a tactical shift, saying the military would move away from operations designed to shove ISIS fighters out of seized locations and instead focus on surrounding the enemy. The United Nations Special Envoy to Syria, Staffan de Mistura, has wrapped up the latest round of talks to try to find a political solution to the Syrian conflict, saying they had achieved a level of progress.
This round of talks, there is less rhetoric, more business-like atmosphere, and we make incremental progress. Our goal remains clear: a negotiated framework agreement and negotiated political transition process as per 2254, one step per time.
In addition to meeting Syrian government and opposition delegations, the UN envoy also held talks with U.S. and Russian representatives. He later said the next round of talks would likely be held in June. The ransomware attack last week affected some 300,000 computer systems in at least 150 countries. As VOA's Rob Raphael reports, since no one has claimed responsibility, it isn't clear who is to blame.
It was the biggest hack in history, and it's a scary preview of things to come. But one thing is a lot less clear: whether North Korea had anything to do with it. Despite bits and pieces of evidence that suggest a possible North Korea link, experts warn there is nothing conclusive. A question the experts ask is, why would Pyongyang carry out a big hack that hurt China and Russia, and for what appears to be a small amount of money? As of Friday, less than $100,000 paid in ransom. North Korea's deputy UN ambassador Kim In-ryong dismissed allegations that Pyongyang was behind the cyber attacks. But identifying hackers behind sophisticated attacks is a notoriously difficult task. Proving they are acting under the explicit orders of a nation state is even trickier. Robert Raphael, VOA News, Washington.
A top Venezuelan opposition leader was prevented from leaving the country for a meeting in New York with the UN human rights chief, Enrique Capriles, who challenged President Nicolas Maduro for the presidency in 2013, had his passport canceled at the airport as he tried to leave the country. The UN said the human rights chief wouldn't meet instead with a lawyer for Capriles, present the high commissioner with a report about allegations of the excessive force, use of force, that is, by Venezuelan security forces against anti-Maduro government protesters. And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says he will not forgive Sweden, even though the rape case against him was dropped. From here in Washington, I'm Michael Brown reporting.
That's the latest world news from VOA.